This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Physician and philosopher Albert Schweitzer said, "I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will be truly happy are those who will have sought and found how to serve." Great way to start the show, to start the holiday season, as this is the time that we really get into the mindset that we're going to be giving, whether it's gifts or time or energy or baking, whatever it may be. So I thought, what a wonderful show to do for today in honor of the holidays. And the topic is, doing for others can do wonderful things for you. So thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reiberger. And in this process of looking at giving, I'm going to be sharing not only some of the scientific research that has now been discovered and in the studies around the process of how it actually helps us heal by giving, but also I thought I would share from a medical intuitive's perspective how giving really impacts not only the physical body, but the energy body as well. I'm also going to be sharing my medical intuitive skills with you today. So if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S., Canada, and international callers. Only thing with international callers is dial your international calling code. And then 877-230-3062. Well, the beginning of every year, I actually launch a channeling on what we can expect from the energy of the year that's forthcoming, and then also what insight that can we have as far as what the real theme, I call it a theme of what the year is all about. What is this year of 2012 going to hold for us? And the year of 2012 is the year of abundance. And one of the things that I have shared in my radio shows on abundance and then also in my classes and workshops, abundance is abundance. And what do I mean by that? I mean that if you think scarcity, you get an abundance of scarcity. If you think lack, you get an abundance of lack. However, if you think an abundance of good health, then the body actually responds. Body, mind, and soul gets into this cooperative effort, and now you have abundance of good health. Also, the abundance of prosperity. So what's taking place with this energy is when I go in, I actually connect with my guides, and I'll say, please share insight as to what the energy is going to be of the year. Are we going to have any energy shifts, any attunements? What can we expect as far as insights, how this is going to affect us physically and emotionally? And it's usually done with me asking the guides questions, and then they're downloading the insights that I hope will be of value to all of you as my listeners and all of the people who follow my work. But more importantly, I find that, of course, like everyone else, I learn so much also. So I've been in the process of, you know, dialing in that vibe mail and calling them and saying, you know what, I really am ready to start in my time to get in that quiet place and to start the download for the information. And one of the things that came to me just yesterday in this process of getting prepared is that they said, let's change it this year. This is the year of abundance, so let's change it. And so, being open as I am, they said, instead of you, Carol, asking us questions, why don't you offer the opportunity for your listeners and my Facebook friends and then also the supporters, that people that I have in my email database and everything, why don't I ask you to submit a question that you have around abundance? And then what I will do is I will take those questions and I will ask the guides then to share the insight regarding the particular questions. Now, one of these things that the questions is that we want it to be general in nature instead of being personalized. And the reason for that is that I'm going to include many of these questions in the reading itself as it pertains, in the channeling and the readings that come as a result of this around the energy of 2012. So it needs to be generic and general in nature, but I'm also going to, if I get enough inquiries from all of you, I'm going to actually compile a small book that literally will have the questions and will have the insight of the guides that how we can take this information and really be able to apply it individually and collectively to take the energy flow of this abundance that the universe is gracing us with, because we've asked for this for many, many, many years in this lifetime and past lives as well, where we can become enlightened, meaning free of the entrapments and the conditioning and expectations, opinions of the outside world, and truly can be our authentic self. One of the things in the questions that I ask the guide is, how do we know that the abundance that we're seeking really is authentically in alignment with ourselves versus the abundance that we believe or think that we should acquire, or how we should go about the process? So again, that's kind of the nature of the business. It can be the questions. It can be how you know, questions about, you know, can you define abundance for me, and how does it work, and is there a natural flow, and what does abundance really mean? Is there categories? Is there a nature about it? So again, I invite you to join me in your questions that I will ask the guides. I will be posting the opportunity to read the channeling probably mid-January, end of January, so we're in a fairly short time frame. So at 2012. So if you do have a question that you would like to add the guides, I'm going to suggest that you go to my website, my homepage on my website, www.ritberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com, and then submit the question through the, go to the bottom of the page and you'll see contact Carol, submit a suggestion. Just click on that. It'll give you an opportunity to enter your email address and then also to, post your question, send your question to me, and then I will take it to the guides and either include it in the channeling that I'm going to produce in January or the ebook that I'm going to produce as a result of all the questions that I receive. So again, go please to my website, www.ritberger.com, and please keep the questions general in nature. Well, when we look at the act of giving, what we're really doing is we're actually, whether it's time or energy or money, what we're really doing when we go to the very core of giving is we're really giving ourselves. We're giving that basic nature and how we interact with the world and how our desire is driven not only by our personality, but our inner soul desire to be of service to others. But when we really give of ourselves in an authentic way, we're giving it more out of genuine concern for other people and not because we feel we have to or that we're guilted into it or we feel obligated. Obligation is a huge word that we're going to be letting go of the activities of thinking, the things we say and we do in the abundant energy of 2012. It's part of the process. So when we look at giving, whether it's giving to others or giving to ourselves even, we have to do it more out of just the general concern for ourselves or for others, or out of the real desire to be of service to others. So now we know that scientifically that it's proven that if we give to others more out of our desire to be of service rather than feeling like we have to, it's one of the most healthiest human attributes that we actually can create in behavior, thought, behavior, and emotions to be able to help the well-being of the body. While science is concluding that the selfless act of giving is good for the nervous system, the immune system, more importantly, it's good for the heart. That's one of the things that the research has shown, is that the act of giving literally releases endorphins and neuropeptides and neurotransmitters in the brain that really calm the body, but more importantly, they are literally the endorphins, neurotransmitters, and neuropeptides that literally help the body heal itself and to make our heart feel good. In fact, just thinking about engaging in activities that involve giving the art of giving, then what we're going to do is the way the brain works is that we don't really even have to go through the act of giving. If we think we're going to give and we're going to do it again without the energy of obligation, the body, the brain, actually starts the process of releasing all these different healing endorphins that give the immune system the boost, but it makes our heart feel good. It literally, the act of giving removes the sadness and the emotional charge of sadness that we hold in the left ventricle of the heart, which is where heart attack occurs. And what, even with the stress that we have with the holidays, the act of giving, again, without obligation, excuse me for being a broken record, but that is a real key of being of service or being of servant to someone when we give. When we're of servant, then of course we feel obligated, we become resentful, we become frustrated, we become angry. Well, that doesn't help us at all in the giving, because we're really not doing it because we choose to do it. So giving boosts the immune system, but what it really does is it goes in and helps the heart. But an interesting thing that science has also shown is that the powerful endorphins that are released in the act of giving, again from the heart, and the desire to be of service to others, actually act as natural painkillers, so they can help us with chronic pain, and they can help us with arthritis, and they can, the pain associated with it, and fibromyalgia. So it actually, these endorphins act as if we were taking an ibuprofen or some other Aleve or Motrin or something that's going to be helping us with the managing the pain. The act of giving reduces stress. It actually lowers high blood pressure. Lots of studies have been done around giving and low blood pressure. And the reason that it's, again, beneficial is because stress and high blood pressure really overloads the nervous system. And that nervous system is what really allows the mind body to be able to talk. Some researchers, some researchers even believe that actually giving helps preserve life by adding the emotions of happiness, love, and compassion into our lives. Now, I need to tell you, interesting in the research, these researchers that were looking at this being able to help others as preserving life through the emotions of happiness, love, and compassion were not psychologists, psychiatrists, those in the mental health care profession. They were actually researchers dealing with the actual anatomy and physiology of the human body. And they found strong evidence that, in fact, it does cause people's attitudes to change. It causes people to be more lighthearted, as it showed up in the way that they were actually able to measure the activity of the heart. It changed the breathing, where it became natural and without being rapid and shallow as we get in stress and so forth. And it actually calmed the nervous system, which then calmed the entire body. Giving is like therapy, in the sense that it works both ways. It not only helps someone, but of course, as I said, it helps you. What giving does is it shifts our focus from us and all of our woes and foibles and all the things that we're dealing with. And it also causes us, in that act of giving, to move out of that self-imposed isolation and that separateness that we find ourselves getting into, and especially if we find ourselves getting into that isolation as separateness because we have something going on in the body that literally is changing our activity level to the point where we become isolated, because it's easier to be isolated or at home than it is to put out the effort and potentially have the aches and pains or the discomfort or the anxiety associated with getting out and trying something new or being around people. So the act of giving actually engages us back in life. One of the things that, again, medicine shows is it's hard to be lonely when we're helping others, and it's hard for sadness to be hard in the body in the sense of blood clots, plaque buildup in the carotid arteries or the descending aorta, or it's hard for the heart to not function properly when we're dealing from a place of love and giving and compassion. And loneliness, one of the things that we've found in the research from a psychological and psychoneuroimmunology, which is the impact of the immune system on the emotions on the immune system, we've also found that people who are lonely are also sad, and they tend to suffer from heart-related diseases. So here's some of the other benefits for giving. Giving also makes us feel like we're more in control of our lives, and that we can measure that control by making a difference between sickness and health by being of service versus servant. Giving helps us establish our own identities by giving us a sense of purpose. It boosts our self-esteem by making us feel like we're someone who's making a difference, that we're worthwhile, and that we're needed. Giving is a lot from the need, fulfilling the need part. But again, very fine line that giving has to not be from the standpoint of feeling obligated to do so. And then what occurs is then we have self-confidence, we have self-worth, we have a healthy self-esteem. And one of the things in psychoneuroimmunology, we know that a healthy self-esteem equates to a healthy immune system. So all the way around, the bottom line is that giving not only keeps us healthy, it keeps us young, and we're actually finding scientifically that it's increasing the longevity in people's lives. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to continue this dialogue about giving, and I'm going to be sharing it by personality as well. But I just wanted to give you some fundamentals on the real importance and what we know scientifically as how giving really helps the health of the mind, the health of the body, and how it makes our soul happy, loving, and compassionate through our words, actions, and deeds. What I want to do now is the other part of the show is I want to jump right in and let's take Sally. Hi, how are you, Sally?
And we're actually finding scientifically that it's increasing the longevity in people's lives.
All right.
So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to continue this dialogue about sharing.
Sally, sweetie, would you turn off your radio, honey? We're getting feedback on it, so that's why I'm not hearing you. Okay. So, Sally, stay on the line, sweetie. I'm going to come right back to you. Hi, Paula from Los Angeles. How are you, sweetie?
Hello.
Hi, Paula.
Hi. I'm so happy you take my call. I was so excited to talk to you today.
My pleasure. How can I help you?
Well, if you can look into my body and see what is blocking me physically, energetically, from moving forward in various areas of my life, but particularly into attracting and holding on the abundance.
Okay. So when I touch your energy, and that's kind of a broad-based question, sweetie, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it down into components for you.
Yeah.
And so the first thing is that as I touch your energy, you're a heart person, sweetie. Everything that you do, the decisions that you make are made from your heart, meaning that they need to feel right. When you give from your heart and as open as you are from that wanting to be of service to others, it really lightens you up. It changes the metabolism of your body. It changes the way that your body dialogues with itself within its organs and glands. When you get caught up in, that's the fourth chakra. Are you familiar with chakras, sweetie?
Yes.
Okay, good. So you feel to me like you're a fourth chakra being. And then what occurs, though, and it's interesting because the word that came up immediately that I was talking about in the show is obligation. When you do something because others expect you to do it and you don't want to let them down, and it's really not something that you want to put your time and energy around, you get caught up in the minutiae and kind of that emotional quagmire, psychological quagmire, as I call it, of the second chakra. Now you get driven by coulda, woulda, should I, instead of just true joy of wanting to be of service. Then it becomes difficult for you to figure out what you should do, how much you should give, what does giving look like. And I find that you almost feel like you're in a labyrinth, sweetie, where you're running around and trying to find your way to get where you want to go. You get confused, your breathing changes, you become stressed and rapid and shallow. You have a couple of people in your life that feel to me that they're extremely demanding and that you've spent a lot of your time trying to meet their needs, but their needs feel like the labyrinth. It's always moving. No matter which way you go, then it's never quite the right way to go, and you're trying to figure it all out. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. My husband and my oldest daughter.
Okay, very good. So in this particular case, when you give to them from your heart and that unconditional beauty that your personality is able to do, then you don't get stressed. Then you don't get as tied up in your lower gut and in kind of stressed in your lower back to the point where you feel like you're a beast of burden and you're having to carry everybody else's, you know, responsibility, and that your job is to put your needs on the back burner for everybody else's, even though they're not appreciative. And, you know, kind of that yada, yada, yada that we get into, not only from our conditioning, but then also just from the expectations that people have of us. when you get into that second chakra, sweetie, and you start doing things out of coulda, woulda, shoulda, or obligation, you basically take and you cut off the part of yourself that is so fun and so loving and so generous and so compassionate and that little happy being that I feel inside. Now everything becomes a burden and it just becomes heavy. And this seems to be increasing right now. And I want to share, take a little bit different vantage point and share that with you around that. Right now, the energy that's closing down 2011 is fast, furious, and intense around emotions. So while you may have in August and September been able to flow more easily with the demands and putting yourself on the back burner, it feels to me that everything right now is reaching a crescendo. It's like, you know, either your way or the highway or something feels like it's got to break, but we don't want it to physically break in the body. So please know that the energy is literally moving you to that place where you will start to ask anything that you do for the people in your life, and you do love them very deeply, but they're just feel a little out of control in their demandingness over you. So when you find yourself reacting and responding to their demands, and it feels like it's sucking the life out of you, or it's putting those knots in your shoulder, or it's tightening your back, or you can feel it in your lower gut, take a deep breath and ask yourself, are you doing it for your reasons and others? Or others. If you're doing it for others and you can't reconcile in your own mind and heart and mind, to be able to do that, then, sweetie, take a deep breath, change the scenery, ask yourself to stop the pattern, ask them to be able to do the things they need, because I hear you crying inside, what about me, what about me, what about me? The healthiness is you, myself, all of us are there. The unhealthiness is it can suck the life out of you. That's a huge, I said that very almost traumatic in the way that I said it, but it does, sweetie. It takes your breath away. It doesn't allow you to be your joyful, happy person I get to touch. What this is doing, sweetie, it's changing the chemistry of the body. Right now you have candida present in your body. Your lower gut feels like it's sour. It feels like it's bloated. It feels like it's not eliminating the way it needs to, and I can actually find it going systemic in the chest, and I can find it in the mouth. I can taste kind of a metallic powdery taste. So what you can do is change your diet, change your scenery when you get into that stress place, come up with an affirmation that can work for you, but most importantly, do it where you're not carrying acidic thoughts around yourself. Don't reject yourself. I say it with love. The problem that you're up against with both of them in their demandingness is they're out of control and you're not.
Yes, correct.
So in that particular case, again, they're very loving people. They care about you. Your husband does care about you. He's just a different personality, so he doesn't see the same thing the same way. But again, the energy is really very supportive on that. It's just he feels like he's just under pressure and pretty demanding, actually. Your daughter, on the other hand, is going through a natural separation. Right now, she feels very difficult to live with. Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
Okay. So spend some time in your quiet time and go in, sweetheart, and ask yourself what is important for you as a mom in the love that you have for your daughter to do when she engages you in her emotional, feels like tantrums, the best thing that you can do, sweetie, is to state, if it's you're inclined to do so, this behavior isn't acceptable, you're hurting my feelings, whatever it is, you can do that, or, sweetie, you need to turn around and walk away. It's not serving you well health-wise. It's draining you of energy. I can pick up the knots in your shoulders.
Oh, you are so accurate. And if my eldest daughter will improve in her addiction and getting sober, I feel that the huge weight will be lifted off my shoulders and I can actually deal with the rest of it in a different, lighter way. So,
absolutely. But I will say to you, honey, hold steadfast in your rules, your guidelines, your boundaries of what you will accept or not. one of the things with addictions, the consistency of your behavior and your standards or your guidelines are really important to you first and foremost, and then to her. The other thing is that she, honestly, to me, as I'm able to touch her, honey, she hasn't hit bottom yet. And until she hits that bottom, she doesn't feel to me that she really thinks she has a problem. And she's going to have to hit that bottom. There's nothing you can do about it other than to be steadfast to yourself, to be consistent with her, to go and engage the way that you can with your own self-preservation. And then she's going to hit that rock bottom. And then the help that you're trying to offer and even what she feels like she's been doing, because she gets frightened. And that isn't to guilt you. That's not a coulda, woulda, shoulda that you should help her with that being frightened. But again, she's just a headstrong being. She's always been that way since she was dancing in your womb. And nothing's any different right now.
When do you feel that she'll improve or get better?
She's going to have to hit rock bottom. Is she in a relationship right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That relationship is not healthy for her. You know that, don't you?
I know, and I fight so strongly in a way to make her see it. But
it's not going to, honey. I love you dearly for your effort and that beautiful personality that you are to help her. Continue to do that. That's important to you, but don't get sucked into her dynamics. That relationship is going to hit a real rough spot. It feels like the end of January. That's going to be a real wake-up call for her. So while you can be of service by holding her space, by loving her as a mother, by setting your boundaries of what is acceptance, accepted in your home or not, or around you or not, is the best thing you can do for her when she goes into this roller coaster ride that she's on right now. Because even though it may be tough love, at least she knows you love her. You just don't like her behavior. That may be something that would be appropriate also. You know, I love you as a daughter, but right now I don't like your behavior. Again, I can't put words in your mouth, but those are things
that
might
so
help
good.
You.
I will absolutely use that, and I thank you so, so much from my bottom.
Well,
from
you
heart.
Are so welcome, and I will tell you, you are a beautiful light, and you are just a sheer pleasure to be able to read. So thank you so much. Let's go back and let's take Sally before we go into a commercial break. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Carol. Sorry about it. I was multitasking earlier and got caught.
You know what? And, honey, I could so relate, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm actually listening to me. How do I sound? What am I doing? And I'm multitasking, too. So how can I help you, sweetie?
My beautiful 13-year-old big black dog got really sick on Sunday. I thought he was going to pass over.
Yep.
He's feeling better now, but I'm wondering what the cause, whether it might be his dog food or some bread that I gave him that someone was throwing out or...
Well, one of the things is that for about the last, let's see if I can, I have to ask his energy. Okay. For the last 14 months, his belly has been bothering him. Have you been changing foods to try to figure out? He feels like he stopped eating as well as he did. Was that accurate about 14 months ago?
Yes, he's had his good days and his bad days. Sometimes he eats well and sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah. His gut is pretty uncomfortable. In fact, if I were to take the human approach, because their system is very much like us, it feels to me like he suffers from irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay.
And certain foods just seem to throw his gut into a tizzy. And one of the things that would be beneficial for him, so you heard me hesitate, and I'll tell you exactly why. I went into the intestinal tract, and I was specifically looking for a blockage, and I didn't find anything.
Okay.
So that's why you heard the hesitation. So what that means is that the small intestine is getting the blood flow the way it needs. I have mucus buildup the way it needs. I don't have any blockage that literally would cause the breakdown or the death of the small intestine, which would, both in human and animal, then would cause death in the physicalness. So I didn't find that. I had to go in there and do that as I was going through his intestinal tract.
Okay.
But what it feels like is that because of it feels like it's an irritable bowel syndrome, it feels like it's been building on itself. And what that means is, sweetie, whatever you feed that dog has got to be as natural as talk to the vet about it. It's got to be something that's easily digestible. It's got to be consistent. No adding anything else to it, because what it's doing, whether it's bread or even changing food, it's going to set off this IBS inflammation and then this pain. And that's exactly what the dog was in on Sunday. It actually started about 9 o'clock Saturday night. And it just, his belly hurt. I mean, it really hurt. And it felt like everything was cramping. And it was felt to him like it was probably closing down.
Mm-hmm.
And once he passed and absorbed and passed some of the food that he was actually taking that was creating this response in his body, then he got better. Have you talked to the doctor about his digestion, the vet?
I haven't, no. But I was thinking that maybe I should just start making him food, brown rice and veggies and some fat.
That would be very, very helpful. You will want to manage the amount of fat that you give him at this point in time, because of the fact that his digestive tract is really hypersensitive.
Okay. So it just
So what you'll want to do is you'll want to do real good healthy fats, not a lot of animal fats. He feels like he'd have a little bit of trouble with it. I went in and just checked for his gallbladder. It feels like that's okay with it. But again, it just, if you go online and you look at WebMD or go in and look at irritable bowel syndrome, you're going to find a lot of his behavior is actually going to align with that, the human symptomology of IBS, and then that's going to help you figure out what to do to be able to help him. The other thing is, do you do Ayurvedic medicine? Do you do, or you feel like you're a healer? Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Do you do
energy medicine?
Okay, very good. So what you want to do, sweetie, is he gets caught between the first chakra and the fourth chakra, and that causes him to become, his first chakra is his desire to please you, and then that heart chakra is to desire to please you.
Right.
He wants to have fun and romp with you, but he also wants to love you, love you, love you the way animals that do.
Mm-hmm.
When you get stressed, and this isn't to put guilt on you, but when you get really over the top in your stress, he's so aligned with you, he gets bound energetically in his second and third chakra.
Okay.
So you can go and do some therapeutic touch. You can actually touch his sixth chakra and seventh around his crown, pull the energy through the crown, let it run through the vertebrae, let it run into the first chakra, out the tail area. That will help him energetically. And then Ayurvedic medicine would basically look at it and say that his gut is too hot and we need to do something to cool it.
Okay.
But he was just in extreme pain, sweetie, and that's where he was. It doesn't feel like what he was dealing with was actually life-threatening. It was just that the pain was more than the dog can handle.
Yeah, he was so distressed. I really have to.
He really, really was. So put on your energy medicine hat, and then if you need to, you might want to take him to the vet or go make an appointment with the vet and then talk to the vet about what you've experienced. And then the vet could help you. If you choose to not do the natural foods, then could help you come up with a real good diet that would be would help him with the irritation in his gut.
All right. Okay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And thanks for, shutting down the multitasking enough for us to connect. I love it. And you know what? And thanks for the reminder. I need to do this as well. So I love you. Thank you. Happy holidays to you, sweetie.
Carol,
you're welcome. Okay, let's take a quick commercial break. I'm going to be right back to talk more about how giving and your personality really influences what you give and how you give and how much you give. So come right back, please, after this commercial break, and we'll talk more about the healthy aspect of giving.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I'm talking about the healing power of giving. And in this segment, I'm going to be talking about the important role that your personality plays in influencing what you give, how much you're willing to give. I'd also like to share my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health or any other area of interest, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S. Callers, and then also international callers, including Canada. Now, this segment, I'm going to be talking about personality, and I actually teach personality by color. It's a lot more effective and less threatening to do it by color than it is to start labeling people with names such as being a control freak or a driver or influencer. All of those names have real value, but it can turn into name calling, especially if we're sharing our perception of somebody else with us and how we see them. So what I have is I have a website, www.whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. And on that website, there's a mini assessment that allows you to answer just brief statements. And then all of a sudden, poof, you will become a personality color, red, orange, yellow, or green. There's also brief descriptions of each of the four colors on that site as well. Once you understand your color by the results of this mini assessment, then you'll have a sneak preview into who you are personality-wise. Excuse me. And then also, I always feel like I need to give a Surgeon General warning. What it's going to do is it's going to change the way you see the people in your lives. So in that particular case, what I think you're going to do is please go to my website, whatcolorisyourpersonality.com, discover your own color, read a little bit about yourself, and then what you're going to do is start to understand that maybe the people in your life really aren't trying to make your life miserable. What they're doing is they literally just see the situation differently. Also, if you're still thinking about holiday gifts, I have different books that are available for purchase on hayhouse.com or amazon.com. All of my books have personality assessments in it. I have a book, What Colors Your Personality, Your Personality, Your Health, Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It, and Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do With It, full of rich information on how to get on the same wavelength, how to deal with conflict, how to create mutually satisfying relationships. Again, you can purchase them on Amazon.com or HayHouse.com, and all the books that I've listed are also available as Kindle books. So that's something for you to think about for the holidays. So when we really go in and we start to look at why we give the way we do, what we give, and how open we are to giving and how much of ourselves we get into giving, we really need to go back and understand our personality. But what I want to share with you now is that really not any one personality color gives more than the others. They just tend to give differently. For example, the red personality gives by donating their time and money, which they place great value on. They give because they care about their community, their neighbors, and their willingness to share with others who are less fortunate. They involve themselves in activities and organizations that foster self-sufficiency and that teach the skills necessary to succeed. So in that particular case, you might find the red personality working for Habitat for Humanity or working with an organization, a food drive, or something that really depicts the giving and adds the energy of being of service to the basic human needs. The orange personality is the personality who really truly gives of themselves, their time and their resources. When I look at personality, the orange personality is truly the personality that would give their shirt off their back if they could or it was requested of them in order to be of service to others. They're truly the champions for people who are in need. They're tireless in their efforts to help. and they instinctively focus on others' needs, their emotional needs, their physical needs, rather than themselves. They have a boundless love for humanity, and they wish to share it. So what we'll find with the orange personality is we'll find them being involved in charities or organizations where they can give their time, their caring, their resources that can be physical resources such as food or skills and talents to churches, to organizations that really deal not so much with the basic human needs of the people that they're going to be involved with, but really those emotional needs, a lot of supportive energy that's given in the way that they give. The yellow personality gives help to those who are less fortunate in situations where they can actually help them solve their problems and can teach the person how to be able to help themselves. So for the yellow personality, what they do is they really give time and they give insight and they actually help put together plans and procedures in place that can help people regain and retain their dignity and self-respect. Self-respect is a huge thing for the yellow personality, not only their own self-respect, so they have to give to themselves by giving themselves the time to think, being able to give themselves the discretionary time to be able to do things without having a result associated with it, and they do the same things for other people. I always share that the yellow personality, the way they give, is they really create an umbrella over someone, and they help people be able to use that umbrella to be able to move them forward. It isn't unusual for the yellow personality to be a mentor or a coach or a teacher that can really help somebody learn a new skill to be able to make their lives more profitable and more productive through their own skills. The yellow personality does not give either in time, energy, or money anything that's going to create a dependency, but what they really do is they get involved and give around the development of independence. The fourth color that I use in my personality assessment is the green. And the green does anything, time, energy, resources, money, food, whatever they can, gifts, candles, anything that is of importance and value to them, they naturally give to others. And what they do is in their desire to give to others, the green is really giving whatever they can in order to reestablish joy and happiness in people's lives. And then to help people really understand that the true pleasure of life is really about being light and free and happy and joyful and being at peace instead of having to be burdened with all of the basic emotional minutiae that comes along with life itself. The yellow will help someone get by giving them tools to be able to cope with life. The green will give someone the time that they can sit down and just enjoy where they are and learn about where they are, because the green's gift and the most important gift they give people is love and sacred space. They involve themselves in activities that help people lift their spirits and for people who are less fortunate. Greens have a natural affinity for children, so it's not unusual to find greens being involved in activities where they can really help children that are maybe in an untenable situation or a situation with a lot of scarcity and lack to be able to find a pleasure and happy in all of that heaviness that they may have in their life. So each one of the personalities, as you can see just very briefly, really goes in and looks at and defines giving very differently. And for reds, it's money and time. For oranges, it's their caring, their nurturing. For yellows, it's their ability to solve problems. And for greens, they're the joy meisters of the giving world. So again, and what I mean by that is they give people happiness, they give people hope. So again, you can see that each personality color, while they all give, they just give differently. Now again, if you don't know your personality color, go to my website, whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. Take the mini assessment. Poof, you'll become a personality color, learn more about yourself. And as we're moving into the energy of 2012, which is about abundance, one of the law of attraction around abundance is that if we give, we receive. Whatever we give, we receive. Whatever we think, we receive. However we feel about ourselves, we receive. So in the energy of 2012, the key word that really discerns whether you're giving from your heart or you're giving out of obligation. That's the key word of obligation. That's a code word for 2012 in order for abundance to really flow to you the way you're looking and you're desiring in your life and in your relationships. It means that it must be attracted by being of service rather than being fearful or out of obligation. So it all just fits in. It's a wonderful way for us to shut down the year of 2011 as we prepare for 2012. So I've got a couple more calls. I'm going to try to squeeze them in. Hi, Chris from Kentucky. How can I help you?
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling me.
Oh, lovely. Always lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. How can I help?
Say, listen, I have a question on a nephew who is about 16 years old and has made a major change in culture, moving, school, whole works here.
Mm-hmm.
And since Thanksgiving, he's been having problems with vomiting and diarrhea and pain in his belly. Now, he had gone to the doctors, and they did blood tests and said nothing big, you know, that they could see, and they diagnosed it as stress. Stress and depression. So they gave him some anti-anxiety pills and some nausea pills and sent him home. And I'm just wondering if there's something more going on and if there's something environmental. One of the rooms that he's been staying in, there was a question whether that's causing the problem. So if you can give me any help in this matter, I would appreciate it.
So one of the things that I, first of all, when you started in, I went in and looked for Crohn's disease. I didn't find it.
Okay.
I went in and looked for celiac disease. I didn't find it.
Okay,
I went in and I looked for irritable bowel syndrome. I didn't find it.
Okay.
I went in and looked for GERD, acid reflux, to see if we had a digestive issue that was happening in the stomach itself. I did not find it.
Okay.
So all of the major things that would be associated with what he's experiencing from a medical standpoint, the doctors are absolutely accurate. There's nothing that is there.
Great.
Not my place to say they are or they aren't, but in this particular case, I can say that they are.
Okay.
So there's a couple of things is that it feels like he has picked up, I go into the upper gut, I actually can pick up some H. pylori. The doctors wouldn't have tested for that unless it was requested. It can create a lot of the digestive distresses that he's experiencing. It also can create the discomfort in the small intestine, the bloating, and can contribute to diarrhea. But what really keeps coming up, honey, is that he's eaten something, and it actually is something that he ingested. And I'll go and I'll see if it has to do with the environment that he's living in. He actually ingested something that has parasitic energy associated with it.
Okay.
Did the doctors check him for parasites?
I don't believe so. I don't believe they went that far.
Okay. Going to a gastrointestinal doctor, I would encourage actually doing something medically. Alternative can certainly be of service and be of value. But in this particular case, it feels like we have a parasite. You could go to a naturopath.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to an integrative medicine doctor who does both alternative and has the medical background. But we need to find out what parasite this is to be able to work with it.
Okay.
From the H. pylori standpoint, if he does, we need to do an H. pylori test. Sometimes that can be done in saliva testing. Sometimes it can't, depending on where how active it is in the body.
Okay.
My sense is, so I'm going to go into the environment in the room. It's not actually in his room.
Okay.
But I'm picking up the bathroom. Does he share a bathroom with someone?
Yeah, two others. Well, actually, at least two others.
Okay. My sense is that what he's dealing with in his intestinal tract is parasitic in nature. It has changed the bacteria in his gut. That may be why I'm picking up the H. pylori. It feels almost like it has an E. coli charge around it. It is, I'm testing, I'm going in and I'm looking for glasses. that people would drink out of, toothbrush holders, towel. I've got towel. So I'm going to be, here's how it feels, sweetie, and then you can take it from here.
Sure.
It feels like somebody isn't washing their hands the way they need to.
Okay.
And I've got an actual buildup on towels. I also find it on the toilet lid itself. It's still, I can pick up the energy still of it. It feels like it's bacterial from the standpoint of how it feels like it has an E. coli base charge around it.
Okay.
Does he share with a male?
Yeah.
A different culture?
No, same culture. Different. Okay. Same culture. Sibling.
Just doesn't have the, doesn't feel like the cleanliness that's needed.
Okay.
And I'm just picking it up.
Sure.
He may have picked it up and put it in his mouth. Something that he's done, sweetie, has got either on his hands or something that's been ingested. It isn't coming in through the pores of the skin or being airborne. It literally feels like it came in through the mouth and it set off this chain reaction.
Okay.
That's what it feels like.
Okay.
So.
All right. But it's not depression and not anxiety.
The stress, it's kind of a perfect storm. I don't think the stress literally caused it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the stress weakened the immune system and changed the chemistry of the body that his immune system became fatigued or weakened to the point where he became vulnerable to this.
Okay.
So I believe that that's the case. The antidepressant they have him on is literally just trying to cool his mind down because he's spinning. He's just got too many plates spinning.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to do is they're trying to stop that spinning that's feeding those adrenals, that's weakening the immune system that left him vulnerable to what I'm picking up in his body.
Okay.
So the antidepressant is doing its job, but what it's doing is it may be masking, very obviously masking the depth of what he's really dealing with because he's not emotionally engaged with what the discomfort. It doesn't even feel like he's experiencing some of the pain and discomfort that's associated with this.
Okay.
It's kind of like it's anesthetizing that part of the brain. Good for stress, but may not be as valuable in what we're dealing with from a digestive standpoint. The real culprit of all this, honey, is it's in his small intestine. That's where everything, small intestine triggered upper digestive, and that's what we're dealing with. He's in a loop.
Okay. Very good.
Very, very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. He needs to take his own towels. The hand towels need to be washed in the bathroom every single day. He needs his own towel, and he needs to wash it every single day.
Okay. That's been an issue.
yeah, okay. I can only imagine. So anyway, all right. Well, light and love to you and happy holidays.
Thank you. You too, Carol.
My pleasure. Bye. Well, so we're getting back to the giving. You know, I hope that you've enjoyed me sharing my medical intuitive skills. I absolutely love this part of my life. It's the part that I came back from my near-death experience to do. Has it always been easy for me? No, because I didn't give of myself when I first started, meaning I didn't accept it, I didn't understand it. But what it has done is it has allowed me, as you've heard on the show today and when I do my readings, it's allowed me to really get in and give from my heart and from my soul. And I want to thank every single one of you that really support me in my work, interest in my work. And then I also want to close the show down. Please, if you've got a question about abundance that you want me to ask the guides and include in the channeling that I'm going to be actually sending out on my email list in mid-January, two things. Go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Lower part of the page, click on Contact Carol, submit your question to me. I'll ask the guides. And then the other thing is, if you're not on my mailing list, please go and sign up for my newsletter mailing list. It's going to let you know when I have blogs posted. It's going to also let you know when I have new specials and stuff that's going on. And it will ensure that you will get this channeling, and you can see if one of your questions are there, or it may even be included in a book. Well, thank you all so much for the time and energy and for spending your Wednesday with me. I hope that you have a wonderful week and that the small random acts of kindness and giving is going to make your heart sing. It's going to help you with the holiday spirit, and it's going to help other people's hearts sing. Light and love to all of you. I'll see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.